Welcome to the Choose You Netcast. This is Jim Langlois with a word from Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's my prayer that this netcast will encourage and cheer you on as we join forces to draw the line in the sand, defending our faith and our households in the resurrection power of Jesus. Join me each weekday as we dig deeply into God's amazing word and bring up the rich treasures of his blessings. Are you ready?
Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house. I said choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.
Good morning, NetWorld, and thank you for tuning in. We're continuing with our series called The Gospel of Christ. And our text is Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I love it. The gospel of the kingdom, and then the end will come. It's amazing. This word gospel means the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. And it's also called the Christian Revelation. It's the story of Christ's life and teaching, especially as contained in the first four books of the New Testament, namely Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's also called the Good News of Salvation in Christ. I love that word, good news. It comes from the Greek word evangelion, where we get evangelist, evangelism, and evangelical. The Enhanced Strong's Lexicon says it's the glad tidings of the kingdom of God soon to be set up. And I call it the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now we've already covered the birth and the death, and today we're going to continue with the burial. Yes, Jesus paid the price. He took our punishment for us. Think of it this way. You're stopped by the police for speeding in a small town. You were going so fast, the officer arrested you and took you immediately to jail. What the officer did not realize is that the town judge was your father. Well, this became big news in this small town, and everybody was wondering and waiting to see what would happen. The court day came, and everybody waited in anticipation, wondering if the judge would just let you off. But something happened. The judge said you were guilty. And although he would prefer to let you off because you're his son, as the judge for the town, he needed to enforce the law to its fullest extent. He stated it would be wrong for him to give any preference to you. Therefore, he sentenced you to the full penalty. The law said the full penalty was $1,000 fine, and it must be paid immediately, or you would have to go to jail for 2 weeks and still pay the fine. He pronounced you guilty and slammed the gavel on the desk. The audience was pleased your father did the right thing. However, he was not finished. He stood up and said the following, "However, there is no law stating that my son is the one who has to pay the penalty." He then presented to the court a check for $1,000, and he came over to you, and he hugged you, and he took you home. Well, maybe there were some there who were not so happy with the judge's decision. However, he followed the law completely. When you got home, do you think your father may have told you, "You are forgiven, and go and sin no more"? Well, I do. But in reality, your situation is a bit different. It's worse than a speeding ticket. The law says, due to your sin, your pride, selfishness, lying, adultery, fornication, covetousness, which is greed, dishonoring your parents, murder through hatred, disobedience to God, inordinate affection, which is idolatry, and the list may differ according to what applies to you, but the penalty is death, and separation from God and eternal punishment is due. A righteous God must follow the law. He must be fair and just for everyone according to what is written in his job description and the law. But the judge is your father. You are his son. Will he just let you off? The penalty is not death, but eternal punishment in hell. That's what the law says. So here is an amazing fact. The judge sent his son, God in the flesh, to take the punishment and go to hell for you. How do we know? Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 says, For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the place of the dead, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You see, Jesus became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I call it the divine exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the Amplified says it well. For our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. In order to complete the work, Jesus also needed to go to hell, or what the Old Testament calls Sheol, for us. But even though he became sin for us, he himself never sinned. He never told a lie, never disobeyed God, never dishonored his parents, lied, acted in pride, committed adultery, even in his mind. He never committed murder, even through hatred. He never was greedy or covetous, or had any inordinate and improper affection, which is called idolatry. And the burial for him was hell, or like the Old Testament says, Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. Jesus went to hell for us, but he could not be held there. Why? Because he personally never sinned. When Jesus entered hell, the payment and penalty was complete. Another way to put it is finished. Someone might argue, it's not fair. The guilty need to pay the penalty. Well, not according to the law. But only one person could pay it. It had to be someone who was not guilty, someone who never sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 in the Amplified says, "But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us." And then John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 in the Amplified says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him." And Luke chapter 19, verse 10 tells us that he came to seek and to save that which he lost. Well, do we have any proof? Yes, it's called the resurrection. So it's not just the birth, it's not just the death, it's not just the burial, but now we need to talk about the resurrection. Now, it's amazing to me to think that the resurrection actually took place in hell. Let's read Psalm 16, verse 10 again in the Amplified. "For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the place of the dead, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." The resurrection of Christ is the most powerful event that has ever taken place. Death could not hold Christ down. He paid the penalty for us, but he was totally innocent. Satan thought he could destroy the Son of God, but no. Jesus had no pride, no evil, no disobedience, no immorality, no perversion, no hatred, no dishonesty, and no ungodliness that eternal death could attach itself to. It was our sin he took upon himself. It was our punishment that he hung on the cross for, and it was our penalty that he went to hell for. I like the word openly. It's an interesting word, because just before God raised him from the dead in hell, Jesus made a show openly in hell before Satan. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 in the King James Version says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Think of it. From hell, God raised him from the dead openly. Acts chapter 10, verses 40 says, "Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, he says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. You see, Jesus beat the power of sin, the power to condemn, the power of death, the power of hell, the power of the curse of the law, and the penalty and punishment that was due. He did it for us. It's the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. How does it work? It works by grace through faith that works by love. Most people understand that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are forgiven and have inherited eternal life. But what we also need to understand is that the power of sin in our lives has been broken. What power is that? The power of temptation and bondage to its control and rulership. Yes, our sins have been paid for, but we are no longer under sin's bondage. It's more than just forgiveness. It's the power to live holy and godly. It's the power to walk in love. Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God our Savior and Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. And I like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, which says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This is the walk of love that we could not perform before our salvation. Now we can. It could also be called the works of love, not for salvation, but because of salvation. Years ago, I remember hearing a preacher say, you don't have to sin anymore. I did not understand it at the time, but now I do. I do not have to lie anymore. I do not have to steal anymore. I do not have to be under any pull or bondage of sin or disobedience. Why? Because I have been freed, and now I have the power to say no and walk in the Spirit. I am free. It's all by the power of the gospel of Christ. Notice how Peter says this grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus, the knowledge of him who called us. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, many people suffer for a lack of knowledge, but we are free. This is the true revelation knowledge of the gospel of Christ. Well, we're out of time, so we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, same channel. I call you blessed.
You have been listening to the Choose You Netcast with Jim Langlois. If you have enjoyed this program, you can find out more about Jim Langlois Ministries on the Master's House website at tmhnow.org. That's tmhnow.org. On the Media tab, you can listen to many more messages, subscribe to my daily devotional emails, and follow the link to my blog site. If you'd like to write me or become a financial partner with this ministry, my address is The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. That's The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. Online donations can also be made at tmhnow.org, and my email address is pastorjim@tmhnow.org. This is Jim Langlois saying be blessed, you and your whole household. Until next time.
Choose you this day, but that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.